Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Jay, today we continue our study of God's plan through the ages. You know, we must realize that the entire Bible, Genesis to Revelation, contains God's plan. To know God's plan, we must know God's Word. We'll begin today a very quick survey of the Bible, including all 66 books. This is how we'll come to an understanding of God's plan through the ages. What a blessing that will be for both you and for me. I'm going to begin our study today in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 32. But first, let me refresh your thinking as it relates to our last study.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
If we had to title our series for this week, it would be God's Plan Through the Ages. God's Plan Through the Ages. Now, if you'll remember with me, last time we were together, we talked about how there is a philosophy of history. And this philosophy of history helps us to understand how God is working throughout all of the ages for the last 6,000 years, with a 1,000-year kingdom yet to come. That should conclude all of time. Time was created. The very first verse of the book of Genesis, in the beginning, that started time. It will conclude in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, when the great white throne judgment takes place and Jesus, seated on that throne, watches as the heaven and the earth will flee away and they will burn up completely. And then after the great white throne judgment, eternity future, new heavens, new earth, and a new Jerusalem. And so as we looked at all of that unfolding in God's Word from Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, we understand that there is a philosophy of history that we must have. First of all, we have to see a systematic interpretation of history, of things in the past. We have to see the whole scope of history. The fact is that the beginning and the end must cover everything that we think about when we put together a philosophy of history. There has to be a meaning, a serious, unique meaning for all of history. And these ends and beginnings of so many things that we'll study as we go through the Word of God this week, they have to have a conclusion. If it starts, it has to conclude. That's all of history. That's what history is all about. And of course, it has to have an ultimate reason for coming into existence all of time. God, out of eternity past, when there was nothing else, 6,000 years ago, brought everything into existence. He gave Jesus the prerogative of being able to speak the worlds into existence, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. By Him, Colossians 1, 17, everything is held together until He releases that, and that's how these heavens above us and the world itself is going to burn up, and we move into a eternity future concept when there is no time anymore. So there was no time, there has been time, there will be no time once again in the future. As we look at God's plan throughout history, there's one verse that basically lays out His plan and what He's going to do. Take your Bibles and go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 32. 1 Corinthians 10, 32. Now, 1 Corinthians 10 is not talking about a prophetic passage of Scripture. It's dealing with another subject. Paul saying, everything is lawful for me, everything not expedient for me to do. I don't want to be an offense. In that context of that message, Paul says one phrase in chapter 10 and verse 32, one phrase that will help us understand a philosophy of history that is the plan for God throughout the ages. Look at verse 32. God gives Paul this information. It's to pass along to us. It's His testimony to the people in Corinth, but it's information key to understanding how He's going to unfold history. chapter 10, 1 Corinthians, verse 32. He said, I'll give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God. And when he makes that statement, he divides humankind into three persons: Gentiles, Jews, and Christians. All of history has not had all three of these members of the human family in existence, but these are the three members of the human family. This will play into the plan of Almighty God: Gentiles, Jews, and Christians. Go back to Genesis chapter 1 with me, and I want you to notice now, as we're going to quickly do a survey of the entire Word of God this morning, setting up for our next three studies that will help us to see what God is going to do with each of these individual members of the human family in the next three sessions together, and move into the prophetic significance of all the timelines for these three members of the human family. When we come back to the book of Genesis, and if you're taking notes, let me advise you to do this. Vertically, on the left side of your paper, write four personalities. At the top, put the name Adam. Come down a little space, and then put the name Abraham. And then come down about twice as much as you've already come down, and put the word apostles. And then come down at the bottom and put the word Antichrist. If you will put this on the vertical side of your paper, the left-hand side, I'm going to show you how these personalities separate the three members of the human family and help us to understand God's plan throughout the ages. Adam, Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26 to 28, in the afternoon on the sixth day of creation, God brings into existence in his image Adam. Ultimately, we'll see that the Lord will bring Eve out of Adam, and they will be able to become the rulers and have dominion over all of creation. That's chapter 1 of the book of Genesis. And the purpose for us looking at the beginning there in chapter 1 is to see that the pattern was set for the kingdom that is to come yet in the future. And we'll show you that on the timeline in just a moment. When we come to chapter 2, we see the special details, additional facts, helping us to understand what actually took place in chapter 1. The creation account is given, the 6 days of creation in chapter 1, but in chapter 2, more of the details, information we need to know. We looked yesterday, we saw that Adam was able to have the responsibility of naming the animals. He was actually looking for a helpmate. When he did not find a helpmate among all the animals, the Lord gave him a helpmate, pulled a rib out of him, made woman, and he then brought into that institution of marriage to bring these two together and to make them one. That's chapter 2, and we see talked about here in chapter 2 the location for the Garden of Eden, actually where there was a headquarters for this kingdom that had been set up. And so then that looks into the future, because remember, a true philosophy of history has a coordination between the beginning and the end, and the location talked about there in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, is the Garden of Eden. So the kingdom, that first kingdom, a pattern for that which will happen after the return of Jesus Christ, that kingdom was established there in the Garden of Eden. We had the pattern, we had the place for that kingdom to be operating out of. We come to chapter 3, we see the story of the fall of man. We see how Lucifer, in the form of a serpent, deceives, he confuses Eve, and in that context, the first sin comes into existence. One of the evidences, and if we take chapter 3 to be literal, which is the approach I suggested yesterday in our dispensational approach to understanding the philosophy of history, one of those two types of theology present in our world today, we have to take the Word of God literally, not allegorize what is taking place here, not spiritualize in conversations with people. I often see them spiritualizing what the text says. Well, possibly this means that this is what, no, what does the text say? What does the Word have to say to us? That's the only thing we can rely upon, and we must do that consistently. So when we get to the third chapter, we see that here Adam and Eve are both going to be deceived by confusion. the devil is going to say to them, well, God didn't really say that, did he? And no, if you're not going to really die if you eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so we see sin here, but this is setting up for the end time scenario where we're going to see Satan ultimately bound. In chapter 3, in chapters 1, 2, and 3 of the book of Genesis, we have a theocracy in place. In chapters 20, 21, and 22 of the book of Revelation, we have a theocracy once again in place. For the first three chapters of the Bible, a theocracy, last three chapters of the Bible, a theocracy, all in between chapter 4 through chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, chapter 4 of Genesis, we have a Satanocracy, and the king of this world is Satan. But at the end of Satan's reign on this earth, at the end of the tribulation period, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1, 2, and 3, he will be cast into a bottomless pit for the thousand-year period of time, a period of time when Jesus Christ receives the glory, Satan is off the scene in a bottomless pit. Chapter 4, we see the story of Cain and Abel, but once we see that Cain kills Abel, God then gives them Seth, and in the days of Seth, last verse in chapter 4 of the book of Genesis, we see in those days, men started to call upon the name of the Lord. And that is giving us evidence forecasting into the future when a multitude, chapter 7 of the book of Revelation, verse 9, says a multitude that no man could number will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in that seven-year period of time. The two witnesses, Enoch, oh, that takes us to chapter 5. Chapter 5 of the book of Genesis, it's a genealogy, but great truth found in it. It's helping us to understand there is no evil angelic bloodline between Adam and Noah. That's the first thing it tells us. But it also brings to our attention Enoch. He's a man who walked on the earth with the Lord, but then walked into the heavenlies with the Lord as well. And one of those two witnesses is going to be Enoch there in that first half of the tribulation period, Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 and following. That's chapter 5. We go to chapters 6, 7, and 8. We see the reason for the flood in chapter 6, and that would be because evil angels had sexual relationship with human women and developed a bloodline that was not pure, thus the Messiah could not come forth. Remember in chapter 3, Satan used his subtle strategy of confusion. When he gets to chapter 6, he uses his subtle strategy of contamination. He contaminates the bloodline, which is not going to allow then a pure virgin young lady to bring forth the Messiah. Well, God took care of that because he preserved 8 people that were perfect. They were not perfect because they didn't have sin. They were perfect because they had no evil angelic bloodline in them. Now, the reason is chapter 6, the retribution, the flood that covered the entire earth for 377 days, 1 year plus 12 days, the earth was covered with this water, the entire earth. It says in chapter 7 that the water was 15 feet higher than any mountain on the face of the earth at that time. It covered the entire earth. And then the revival and the setting up again of an opportunity to allow God to use his plan among men throughout the ages.
In our study today, we have started our journey through the Bible and have come to Genesis 6 and 7, which is the account of Noah and the flood, which took place some 4,500 years ago. Remember that the first 12 chapters of Genesis are key to not only understanding the entire Bible, but key to knowing God's plan through the ages. Next week, we'll begin with Genesis 8 and 9, Noah after the flood, and then we'll continue our march through God's Word. Please join us. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up until...